freedom to speak, freedom to worship, things that are guaranteed by the Constitution, but they are guaranteed by the very blood of patriots that have given their life for the cause of Christ. It's not then undue for us to remember that we have men among this congregation that have served in the military. Not going to name the names, but you would know who they are. And to recognize that many of them were in the thick of World War II and some of the actions since then. But I'm free to preach today, and I recognize that as a blessing.
Amen.
And it's a liberty that we enjoy. We certainly pray that it'll continue in that same way. So we do recognize the fact that we have our liberties, and it's not out of order to acknowledge those as we recognize among our own brethren, those who have sacrificed so much for the cause of freedom. I want to talk to you tonight about the idea of what if. What if? What if pigs could fly? There are all kinds of funny things about what if. But there's some more serious things that we consider about what if. And I'd like to consider those with you tonight and think in terms of what if some things are so and what if they're not. When you start talking, in fact, I did a lot of work on this, and then I had two copies. The one that I wanted to use is still at the house. So this is not the one that I wanted to use, but nevertheless, it'll get the message across. What if God does exist? What if the Bible is really His inspired Word? Now, there's controversy about that. There are debates about that. There are people who deny all of this. But then, what I would think, if I were an unbeliever, I would have to consider, what if there is a God?
Amen.
And I would have to consider, what if the Bible is truly the Word of God? What difference would it make? As one politician said, well, all the difference in the world makes all that difference in the world. What if my soul will survive the death of the body? We are familiar with death. It's all around us. It has no particular favorites. It simply is common to the fact of men. We all die at one point or another. What if there is no life after death? But what if there is? All these people that we know that have gone on, are they still alive or are they simply out of existence? These are questions that people talk about. What if God really intends to punish the disobedient? What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with you? We read this morning in the book of Romans about God being goodness, the goodness of God and the severity of God. So many people today are emphasizing the goodness of God, and you can't overemphasize the goodness of God, but they're forgetting the severity of God.
Amen.
What if God really intends to punish the disobedient? What effect does that have on me? What worries should I have about that? Does God reward the obedient? Is it true that when you die, you're just like the dog Rover, you're dead all over? There are those who teach that. There are those that teach that you have no eternal soul, and when you die, your breath just vanishes and you go out of existence. But that's not what the Bible says. So what if God does reward the obedient? What if the Bible says, as Jesus told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? What if it's true that the death of a loved one is pleasant to the Lord?
Amen.
You think about all of these things. These are all what if questions. What if hell is just as real as heaven? There have been two brethren who've written books denying the reality of hell. A lot of people deny the reality of hell. One time many years ago, I attended a debate where there was an atheist contending there was no hell. Well, if that's true, we're all going to die and then just go out of existence. But what if there is a hell? You stop and think about that. The Bible describes it as a lake of fire. If there's a real hell, what if Jesus really is the Son of God? We have all kinds of Muslims today that are denying this. And these are questions that really have to do with me, and they have to do with you.
Amen.
What if indeed Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I think so many times of how He appeared as a man and how He appears today as the Son of God sitting at God's right hand. The people that walked the streets of Galilee and they saw Jesus as just another Jewish man, they had trouble believing He really was the Son of God. Now, just what if He was just a man? Everything I believe is in disarray. If Jesus was just a man like everybody else, I have nothing to offer. It'd be a total reversal of everything that I stand for if Jesus is not the Son of God. But what if He is the Son of God? We have to consider that. Did Jesus really die for my sins? You know, it's hard sometimes to really be specific about that. We say He died for the sins of the world. That's true. But if everybody else had been perfect, my sins would have put Jesus on the cross. And if everybody else had been perfect, your sins would put Jesus on the cross. Did He really die? One of the songs that we sing, "Would Jesus die for such a one as I?" It's been rewritten. It used to say, "Would Jesus die for such a worm as I?" Of course, that's taken from Isaiah, where Isaiah said, "I'm a worm and not a man." Talking about a sinful person and his contrition about that. But would Jesus die for me? My lands, the thought of that, that all He did in Jerusalem and His death and His cruelties that were done to Him, all that was done for me. Would you put your name there? Do you realize that all that Jesus did, He did for you? My, what does that mean? How do you take that in? How do you really consider all that that means? It's so much to understand. Did He really arise from the dead? I showed you a picture some time ago when I did the series on Islam. They have the tomb of Muhammad. And all the religious leaders like John Wesley and Martin Luther and John Calvin, you know, they've all got their tombs. Well, you go to Jerusalem, there are two tombs that they say might have held the body of Jesus, but it's empty. In fact, on the Garden tomb, there's a door that's been put instead of the rolling stone. There's a door on that tomb, and it has a sign on it, "He is not here, He's risen." Did Jesus really come out of the grave? I've been present in a lot of funerals through the years, and I recognize that if there's no resurrection from the dead, everything that I stand for is stupid. Everything that I believe is silly if Jesus Christ did not come out of that grave. But what if He did? What if that angel rolled back the stone? What if Mary and Martha came to the tomb and there were His clothes wrapped up and folded, and He said, "Don't weep for me"? What if that really happened? See, all these things are what ifs. Then again, what happens if Jesus is not coming again? Wouldn't that be pitiful? Wouldn't that be awful? I talked to a Jehovah's Witness one time, and they were talking about the heavenly class and the spirit and the earthly class. I said, "Well, what happens to all this earthly class?" "Well, this world is just going to go on and on and on and on and on." I said, "Oh, my lands, I don't want that." She said, "Well, maybe then you'll be part of the spiritual class, the heavenly class." Well, I sure do hope so. I said, "You mean in the earthly class they continue to have children, have to change diapers and all that stuff?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't want that. I've had that. I've had those old stinky diapers. I know what that smells like. That's not for me." Well, she said, "Maybe you're going to be the heavenly class." Well, does Jesus come again? You know, we put it off in our minds at some time in the future. Now, the Bible teaches us at Acts 17 that God has appointed a day, so that day is set. So here's a day out here that God has set when Jesus is coming back, and we're moving toward that day. I don't know when. It may be 1,000 years. It might be tomorrow. It might be tonight. I don't know. Do you believe that the trumpet's going to sound? Do you believe that Jesus is coming in the clouds? What if he really is?
Amen.
Oh, the people. They're going to be so shocked. Jesus talked about the time it's when he comes back, it's going to be like the days in Noah's day. People were marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling, things just going on like it goes on every day, and suddenly the rain stopped. And when Jesus comes again, there's going to be people getting married, there's going to be people being born, there's going to be people dying. We're going to buy and we're going to sell, and suddenly here's Jesus. What if Jesus is not coming? Oh, but what if he is?
Amen.
See, we have to consider that. So that brings up some things. What if all these things are true and I'm lost? What if all those things are true and none of them are true for me? Well, number one, I can't blame God. I cannot blame God about that. He's made every provision for my salvation. God has done all that God righteously can do because he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. The true grace of God has appeared, Titus tells us, that we might be able to understand that through the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have that hope of eternal life. So in Titus, let me get back to that, Titus chapter 2, one of the things we need to recognize is that God's made provision for our salvation. Titus chapter 2, beginning of verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now let's go back to the what if questions again. What difference does it make if Jesus is not the Son of God? What difference does it make if I decide I'm going to shoot you tomorrow? If there is no God, if the Bible's not true, we're all just animals. We've descended from apes, so we're told. So what difference does it make about Hitler? So Hitler killed 8 million people. What difference does it make if there's no God? He doesn't have to answer for anything. But if there is a God, you think about a man like Hitler with the blood of so many people on his hands appearing before the throne of God in judgment. So you have to stop and think about that. God made provision. I really can't blame God if I'm lost because God's done his part. Romans chapter 5 speaks very clearly, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Now in this verse, and this makes me think of Memorial Day, Flag Day, or Memorial Day, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet many, many, many have died."
Amen.
To keep us free. But for an ungodly man, but Jesus died while we were ungodly. He looked at us and recognized what we could become and died on our behalf. And I recognize that I really can't blame Jesus Christ if I'm lost. What if I'm lost? You know, I think about that. Do you?
Amen.
I think about that. What if I lost? I just can't even fathom it. I just really can't take it in, the idea of what if I'm lost. You talk about eternity, and in working on this lesson, I went on the line, I started looking for symbols of eternity and the idea of eternity, and there's a bunch of them out there. But it's so hard to comprehend eternity. It's nothing that we really can grasp because it's infinite and we're finite. But I think of the years that I spent on earth. I remember the good times at Kilgore, Texas, when I was a young kid and I'd go to Bible class. I'd meet my friends at Bible class and how much I enjoyed that. I think about the teachers, old Brother Clark, that made us memorize the books of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. I thought I'd never get it done. I remember the night I was baptized on a Wednesday night. And all the times that I've heard singing, and all the times I've taken the Lord's Supper, and all the brethren that I've met through the years. And you can do the same thing.
Amen.
But if I'm lost, that'll mean nothing. And I just feel that whatever it takes, and I've prayed this prayer, Lord, whatever it takes to get me to heaven, make that happen.
Amen.
Don't let me drift. Don't let me fall away. As I get older, of course, heaven is more real. And it really is. And that's true. It's hard for young people to think about heaven. But as you get older, you really spend more time thinking about that.
Amen.
And you think about heaven. And I read the book of Revelation, and I read about heaven and the people that are going to be there. I think about the good people that I've known that I believe are saved and with the Lord. I want to see them again.
Amen.
I want to see my mother again. I want to see my handicapped brother again. But you see, if I'm lost, I'm going to be way on the other side of that great gulf, and I'll never be a part of those good things. What if I'm lost? And the more I think about that, the stronger I feel by God's grace I'm going to go to heaven.
Amen.
I've talked about this here with all of you. I can't go to heaven as a perfect person, but I can go to heaven as a forgiven person. And God made it possible. So if I'm lost, I can't blame Jesus, because He went to the cross and died for me. He came into this world to save sinners, and that's what Paul told Timothy, that this was the good news. Jesus knew when He came to the earth, He had to die. Isaiah 53 is a passage that talked about the suffering of the Messiah. Jewish people don't really understand that. You can when you look at the life of Jesus and you see that He fulfilled Isaiah 53. Clearly, He fulfilled that. And He prophesied that He would die a death. But the Bible tells us He did it willingly. And so Paul says, have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He gave up heaven. Now, there again, my mind fails me. How could you imagine giving up heaven? I go back to the Old Testament and I read about the throne scenes of Ezekiel, and what a marvelous, wonderful vision, image that creates in your mind about the throne of God, Him on that throne. And you think about all that. I can't even begin to think about what Jesus gave up, but He gave up that and came to earth. Just ordinary man in His flesh, still God in the flesh, but nevertheless He gave all that up and did it willingly to come to heaven. And He left us with the facts we need to believe and obey the gospel and go to heaven. So I go through life and I get a job. I have my family. I work. Years pass and I get old and I die. And I've never thought about God. I've never thought about heaven. I've never put that into my life as something that really counts. What if I go through life, all my life, and never put God in it? And how many people are doing that?
Amen.
So there's a what if question that we need to consider. I must realize that God wants everybody to be saved. He's not a cruel God that claps His hands and is happy when people go to hell. Peter said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in Peter's writings. In Acts 18, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. How many times have you heard me preach that? Practically every day. I don't always use these particular scriptures, but it doesn't go by a single service here when we don't talk about the necessity of being baptized for the remission of your sins. So what if you go through your life and never do that? I studied with a man in a hospital in Sherman, Texas. His wife, his sister was a faithful Christian. He was on his deathbed. And I went over and sat and visited and studied and studied and studied, and he finally said, I want to be baptized. So we got an ambulance and took him to a building and baptized him into Christ. And as I left, he said, "What if there's anything to it? I'm okay." And I thought, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And yet, there was the truth so plain that he could understand it. His sister certainly understood it. And so Jesus then gave the Great Commission to the apostles. It's called the Great Commission because it goes everywhere. Everybody is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a problem when I preach. I never know who's going to be in the audience. So if I preach about baptism, members can say, "Oh, I've heard that so many times." But there may be somebody who has never heard that in the sense that it applies to me. What if I preach a sermon and don't mention the plan of salvation and somebody's in the audience that needs to hear that and I don't do it? And that song that we sing comes back to me. "You never mention him to me." Joel led good songs about evangelism tonight. The song that haunts me is, "You never mentioned him to me." I know the truth. I know what the Bible teaches. You know the truth. Are there people around you that you've never mentioned the name of Christ to them? What if you are the only contact that person will ever have to the Bible? That's scary. Because I know I fail in sins of omission, and I don't do it as much as I should. And I think about the New Testament sense of urgency that the people of the first century had, and they were persecuted, and they whenever were preaching the Word. And we're not doing that. And so I think about these things. What if that's true? And so I realize that if I'm saved, I'm only saved by obeying the words of Jesus. John 14, Jesus was encouraging, as we mentioned this morning, the apostles, because he was leaving and they were frightened. They were going to be without their master. "If you believe in God, believe also in me." And so Jesus Christ left that encouraging message. And he said in that chapter, "I am the way," verse 6, "the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." What if you hear the gospel of Christ and you never respond to it? What if you hear invitation songs over and over and over and it never touches your heart? What if gospel preaching, not just mine, but gospel preaching, goes unheeded? And you think about the eternal loss, eternal tragedy of people who knew the truth and never obeyed the gospel. I hope this message is something that touches your heart. Because when I raise all the questions about what if, there are many more, but what if in my case, I want to make it personal, what if in my case I turned a deaf ear to God? And I read in class this morning with Brother Nichols about the people who hardened their hearts and they saw the miracles of Jesus. One of the places we visited when it was over in Israel was Chorazin. And Chorazin was one of those cities that Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Capernaum." And he said, "If the mighty works that were done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented." And what this tells me, that right there where we stood at Chorazin, where Jesus did some of his mighty works, and people were not moved and people didn't believe. What if I'm lost? But then on the other hand, what if I'm saved? And I want to end this lesson on a good note. Yes, I can go to heaven. Yes, I can be saved from my sins. My name can be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can go to heaven, be with all the redeemed of all the ages, because God made it possible through Jesus Christ. And when I heard that message when I was a youngster, and I repented of my sins, I was baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, and that's not what if. That's what happened. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, please don't let this message pass by. Think seriously about yourself. What if I'm lost? But what if I'm saved? Won't you come while we stand together and sing the invitation tonight?